Oh, yes, Monday, September the 2nd, 2013. The year is just whizzing by. We're now three-quarters of the way through, and I thought we'd only just started it. What's happened? Oh, yeah, lots has happened. There's been a few revolutions and attacks and leaks and whistleblowers and oh, yeah, the Pope resigned, didn't he? Yeah, stuff like that's been happening this year. Anyway, what the heck's going on? Anyway, tonight my guest is Tobias Beharel, and potentially we may have another friend join us later. Tobias is a friend of mine. We've been connected through the Rebecca Jernigan Network for a couple of years now, and it's about time we have another chat, I have to say. And you've been doing some amazing research on ancient times and ancient languages, and I'm just really stoked to have you on, Tobias. So without any further ado, welcome on Tobias Beharel.
Thanks, JP. It's great to be with you. I haven't talked to you for quite a while.
No, it's not. And I'd better start my recorder by pressing that button there. No, that's still not working. Oh, well, never mind. Stupid machine. Let's see what happens later. Anyway, so I hope Dave's recording this anyway. Greetings. We are broadcasting on Revolution Radio. We are broadcasting on Wolf Spirit Radio. And I was going to try and broadcast on No Borders Radio, but that seems to be down at the moment. Oh, no, it's not. It's running. So there we go. That's great. Now all I need to do is get my microphone working there, and that doesn't seem to have started that. So never mind. We'll leave that go. So Tobias, it's been a long time since we've spoken. You've moved from the west of Canada to the centre of Canada, I believe.
Yeah.
To Winnipeg.
Winnipeg.
Well, interesting. Last night I had a guest on from Saskatoon.
Oh, that's not too far from here.
Yeah. So we're having Central Canada Week.
JP, I hear my voice echoing in your background.
Yeah, that's because I've got my speakers turned up. So how about that? That might be better.
That's okay, yeah. I don't like hearing myself, so.
Oh, you've got a nice voice. And we're going to explore that later. There are things that you asked me to listen to earlier, which was a recording of Diana Tishmack's show, Eagle Flower, and back in July, and you were speaking this language. Now, I don't normally get shivers, but I got shivers. It was almost like being scanned. It was like going down my body when you were speaking like that. So, where do we start? I mean, how did it start for you? What the heck happened? Did you like wake up one night and you started barking like a dog, or what? Tell us first of all where it started, and then what it is, and then how you found out.
Sure. There's a, basically, yeah, you and I haven't talked for quite a while. Quite a while back, I was talking with our friend Jack, and basically we came to the realization that we were active in some of the same time periods and same situation types, and Jack himself is fluent in a number of different languages, not all of which are earth-based languages or whatever you'd like to describe them as. Not that they're not earth-based, just at this time they're not very common. Jack said because of the commonalities between the two of us in timelines and different things like that, that I would probably, well, in fact, he was sure that I would know some of these languages, and he started speaking different things to me that I didn't know what the heck he was saying and at the beginning, and it was just a process. It was a process. At first, like I said, I didn't understand a thing he said, but the more he worked with me, the more he explained that, well, you know, just go what you're feeling. What do you think I'm saying? And really, it was a matter of getting over preconceived notions and programming that runs so deep that it's hard to even describe. But if you're able to do so, as I did, you can start overcoming things and realizing that there are things in our minds. There's information in our minds that we didn't even know was there. Much like there are great histories to each one of us that almost none of us remember. Anyways, in quite a very short time, I started opening my lips and speaking some things and didn't even know what I was saying, especially in the beginning. And within, I don't know, a couple months or something, realized that, yeah, those things are there and they're fully intact. So it's an interesting thing.
Did you start recording it?
Some recordings, yeah. But what do you mean specifically?
Well, I mean, when you first started this, have you recorded your progress? See, that's the sort of thing that I would do. If this has happened to me, I'd say, right, okay, this is my first attempt. And then, as I was further down the road, it was like, I was fascinated with the very small, you did a benediction, and the sound of it, to me, sounded like a cross between Russian and Italian. And who knows what the nature of all those languages are, but so you started opening your mouth. How did it feel to you? What were your feelings as this stuff started coming out?
That's a really good question because, especially in the beginning, the feeling, it varied with the language, but with the language that I'm most familiar with, or not familiar with, but most used to using, I guess, from the past, gave me some very strange sensations. And I mean, not just emotional or mental, but physical sensations. That's another thing that Jack explains really well, that the languages are quite different in the modern times compared to back then. These things are connected to us in such different ways. I remember feeling just rushes of energy through my body. I remember saying things in the Anunnaki language, for example, and feeling the most incredible sensations in different parts of my body, especially in the beginning. I don't really feel that anymore. Not on the same level anyways, but yeah, the languages are quite different. We've talked before about how the English language has been structured in such a way that it will turn the mind and the thinking processes, at least the higher thinking processes off in people and by design. And that gives you sort of a contrast between the older languages and what people are using these days. So yeah, quite a dramatic experience.
Wow. So, I mean, this is the thing. When I felt it, it felt like each syllable had a part of the body. I think it's like each syllable vibrated a specific part of the body. And it swept down. So it was like it was a specifically designed incantation that would activate parts of your body in sequence. It was quite an interesting experience and interesting to think about that because, you know, if this, and are you saying this is the Anu language? Are you saying this is the language of the Anunnaki?
That is correct.
And this is the language of the people that genetically programmed us?
As far as I know, yes.
So therefore we would be built in with, you know, this is, you know, this is the man, this is the master's voice.
Yeah, I know that different people have different reactions and responses to that language specifically. From my understanding or from my understanding, that language actually wasn't a language that humans were allowed to learn or understand. There would be different emotional responses depending on circumstances and experiences, of course. Certainly human beings were and have been around the Anunnaki a great deal. So when it comes to different perspectives and different individuals, there are different emotional responses. We've had people say, you know, it brings me to tears, even though they're not sure exactly why it brings them to tears. I think sometimes it is fear, sadness, and different emotions, and other times it's just, it gives people headaches. There's a number of people that have commented to me, you know, I can't listen to that. I just get this pain in the middle of my head, and that's fairly common. So
that sounds like an electric. What's that? One of those wireless collars for dogs.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So that's fascinating. So when you first started this thing, it took you about 2 months to start feeling fluent in it. But what about the understanding of it? I mean, there are no dictionaries, are there? I mean, you know, how do you learn a language that, you know, we don't even know the beings who speak it anymore?
Well, yeah, I mean, you and I were talking earlier about health. That's what we got started on today. And I mean, the understanding, and it's a strange situation because, you know, as I alluded to previously, and as I mentioned on Diane's show, actually, I mean, there's been a lot of things that we've experienced, each of us as individuals, that have been processes that affect us in a very serious way. I mean, I've talked about the fact that almost no one on this planet remembers the past, and the languages themselves are something that, when you start having the ability and the capacity to make yourself get into it, you start opening up different information within your own self that brings back more than just the languages from the past. It's quite a process. I forget your question, JP.
Basically, it's like, how do you derive meaning from the language that just seems to be spontaneously coming? Are you also getting packets of information as it's coming out?
Yeah, that happens.
Is it like it's, you know, it's a kind of program that you placed years ago to relearn how to do this, and there's like little linguaphone lessons that you've developed for yourself that are popping back up again? Is it something like that?
Not really, because it's not learning, because it's already there. It's already there. So if you take the English language, for example, and you think, well, when I speak, am I thinking of what I'm going to speak beforehand? Well, in one sense you are, and in another sense you're not. I mean, you don't formulate words in your head before you express them verbally. So it's a process that's almost, well, it's almost external. It's almost external in a way. It doesn't feel like it's in the brain sometimes, at least an aspect of it. So it's a very natural process. So similarly with English into Anu or any of the other languages, if they're there, they're there. And again, just, yeah, the way you express that, it's interesting because a number of people have commented on that, well, you know, how did you learn? How did you relearn? But it's really not a matter of relearning. It's just a matter of getting to a mental point where you realize that it's there already. And that itself takes you into so many other aspects of I don't know, reality. Because again, going back to health, I mean, there's just our experience or the experience of the majority of the inhabitants on this planet right now are so incredibly removed from not only the past, but from what a natural reality would be, in my opinion. So
yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, about And it's something that I'm, the process that I seem to be going through at the moment is I'm redoing, re-being what I am, re-becoming what I am. Like, what would it be if I didn't have a car? What would it be if I didn't have electricity? How would it be if I, you know, and I experiment with those states of being and, oh, how could I make my cup of tea if I don't have a fridge? You know, stuff like that is, you know, there's, I place myself in these little scenarios, like little survivalist scenarios, even in the midst of our modern world. And, I think it's like I'm trying to get back to how I was when I knew what I knew, and I knew much more than I do now. And so it's trying to put myself back in that environment so that I remember what I remembered when I was back in that environment. Does that make sense to you, Tobias?
Very much so, JP. That's really well put, because, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, that's a part of this whole process here. When we talk about health, it's more than just buffing up your muscles. It's a brain thing. It's a everything. And I mean, it's really, the process is really remembering what you are already. It's just pulling through what you already are. I mean, people talk about their higher selves and things like this, and really, from my perspective, the higher self is just that which you have not been able to access for a very long time, most likely. There's a lot to it. And, yeah, I lost my train of thought there, but there was some really good points you made there.
Yeah. Cats, though, she says, love trout. Cat, of course cats love trout. So, yeah, how can you explain something that has no linguistic platform? Well, I don't know. Well, it does seem to, now, as you've spoken it has been recognized. I was listening to Jack, and Jack seems to understand what you're saying.
Oh, yes.
And although you have different accents, it appears, and Jack's accent is a bit more like a piss take, it seems, you know. But he's, from what I understand, he was with, you know, working, he was like somebody who's working within the military industrial complex today, realizing that they're kind of trapped in there and working there resentfully and doing all they can just to be annoying. just to, you know, just for the crack, just for the sake of it, you know.
Yeah. I think that would be fair to say.
Yeah, bless his heart. So, let's look at the, can you describe the situation that you were in the time that you were in when Jack was there at the time that you were there, if you see what I mean? And the other question is, do you know how long ago that was, and how was I involved?
Well, I don't, I can talk about these things as much as I know, but I don't know everything, as someone else says quite often. I don't have any memories of, well, I shouldn't say that. I don't have any specific memories of that time period, specifically being with Jack. It is, well, the fact is that we were both in the same sort of time period, working with the same individuals and doing some similar things. So, I mean, we're very familiar with them, and for myself personally, more comes through all of the time. With respect to those things, I know we had different tasks, and I don't know what else to say about that, really.
Well, do you know, for instance, like what your job was, what, you know, what your relationship with them was?
Yeah, some of my tasks were basically as a scribe. I worked with the languages in written languages in an academic sense. I also worked with technologies and pyramids and maintaining of pyramids and things like that. Other technologies as well.
But Were you Naki yourself?
No, I'm Kitsune.
Kitsune. Okay, can you explain to our guests and indeed to the idiot that you're talking to, me, what a Kitsune is, and can you buy them in Walmart?
The Kitsune is a species that is basically the fox people. In modern times, you really only see references to Kitsune in things like, a lot of the anime, almost cartoon things on the internet. There's very little, there's a lot of folklore. Again, you're talking to the wrong person for the most excellent background on the Kitsune. That would be Jack, but, the most modern day information on the Kitsune really comes out of Japan, where there's, I think, some 20,000 Kitsune shrines, and the history is rich and quite fascinating, and it's something that even I, as a Kitsune myself, having been affected by reality and various different things, am remembering and learning more about all of the time. So yeah, the Kitsune are the fox people, two-legged fox people. Ah. And we've been here for a long time.
Okay, so that makes sense. That makes sense. And obviously, you know, all of these races have all become like sort of human these days. You know, we all look the same. Although you can see different creatures behind some people. You know, some people do look more foxy or bear-y or, you know, or hamstery or, you know, whatever evolutionary path we've gone along. We've got all these different developments out of the natural four-leggeds that lived on the planet before us. And yeah. So you're basically, were you a genetically created evolution in the same way as the humans were?
Naturally, you mean?
Well, this is the thing. Are you a natural evolution out of a four-legged or something? I'm saying you as a, you know, as a whole. In the same way that humans were, are you a natural evolution or are you a created evolution? There we go. That's it.
Kitsune.
It gets really complicated, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. The Kitsune is just a natural species. The two-legged Kitsune is a natural species. In fact, the four-legged Kitsune is somewhat of an evolution of, well, it is an evolution of the two-legged Kitsune. The Kitsune have been in some interesting experiences for a very long time where certain circumstances and events have caused them to be basically removed from their original existence. And in fact, the four-legged fox that runs around this planet is part of that de-evolution in a way. The four-legged fox is quite literally what represents the original Kitsune, whose very consciousness and life essence have been ripped from them for various different reasons. Over time, I can't pretend that I know how it all works, but over time, this is what's happened and resulted in the four-legged fox on the planet.
Interesting, because that's like some people say that's how the monkeys got there. You know, that the monkeys like were de-evolutions of a human race rather than the evolution beforehand. Interesting.
I can't say that I personally believe either way there, but the monkey thing. I think monkeys are monkeys and humans are humans and evolutions happen, but I don't think those two are linked, but who am I?
So the Xinu are a fox people, and are they, so by the time they get to, when would this be? You know, what sort of time period are we talking about? 50,000 years ago, 80,000, 100,000 years ago?
I'll just first make a correction. The Xinu you're referring to were on the, there was a representative of the Xinu on the show with Diane and Jack and I. The Xinu are actually the Sasquatch people, and the Kitsune are the fox people.
Excuse me, sorry. So, and these words, Kitsune?
Yeah.
And what's the other one?
Xinu?
Xinu. Kitsune and Xinu. So Xinu is what we call Sasquatch or Bigfoot.
Yes.
And Kitsune, the fox people. Are there any other words for the fox people? Presumably they exist all over the planet.
No, not that I'm aware of. Kitsune is actually just means fox in Japanese. The Japanese use that word. It means fox.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. So, what's the sort of time period that we're talking about?
Well, that's a hard thing for me to answer.
Let's talk about when the interaction, because, all right, so the concept of time doesn't really, you know, may not enter into this kind of consciousness because, you know, mm-hmm. talking about a different consciousness. But in terms of the interaction that you had with the Nakis, when did that happen in our sort of timeline? So, at least I can get a kind of placing in the temporal world.
Okay. Well, the way it works is that, you know, time really is a lot different than people understand it to be. So when you talk about the past, it doesn't mean that the past is gone. The past is still there. When people talk about the ancients and different species that were here 70,000 years ago or 12,000 years ago, you may not see them, but that doesn't mean they're not here. It doesn't mean they don't exist anymore. It doesn't mean that they're gone. And I assure you, they're not gone. They may have, you know, in the normal sense, they may have seemed to have relocated, but that's really not the way it works in my conceptualization of it, my understanding of it. Time to me is more of a location. It's all location. Certainly there's a difference between what happened and what will happen and what is happening, but the time is a location, and it's just so much, so much greater a concept than most anybody here right now can conceive of. People talk about, you know, going into their astral realms and traveling and going to different places and really there's no, the only thing that limits people really is their perceptions of reality and their perceptions of time and health and all of the things we've already discussed. You know, I was talking with my neighbors last night around a campfire, and they got into talking about languages, believe it or not. That was right up my alley. And
lucky you.
One of the questions one neighbor asked me was, well, what can I do to remember my past? What can I do to become healthy and open up some of these things for myself? And the best answer I could give was that just listening to some of the things I was talking about was one of the, probably the greatest first step in sort of going towards that direction. Because, I mean, reality itself is so incredibly convoluted and skewed at this point in time that the ability that people have to even fully grasp onto and conceive of what's going on, what has gone on, and all of that is so distanced from them because of the construct, as some would say, because of the tampering and things like that. So again, I'll just come back to my conclusion here that just realizing that, okay, you know, I said to her, I said, just realizing that this is why the languages were so important for me and still are. it was a great step towards my regaining of my own history and reality, and still is and still will be. But again, the point here is that people are so removed from a constructive reality at this point that just to realize, yeah, this, you know, these people or these different species or whomever, they themselves, some of them were not conscious for a period of time of, you know, knowing different languages or even remembering what species they were, in my case, for a very long time. And now people look for proof. People look for something that's concrete to make them truly know that there are greater things possible, that past lives and past history and all of these things are not just a concept, but are the way it is. And so things like this, just conceiving of them, just putting them and filtering them through your mind, will be a first dramatic step to gaining back what it is you and others would want for themselves. And this is not me standing on a pedestal preaching how good I am. This is just a part of my process that continues every single day. And to me, there's nothing more important because in my opinion, the world is broken and it needs fixing.
So, the world has been, I mean, to me, it feels like, you know, the bad guy's got the knife round, you know, he's got his arm around the girl and he's got his knife to her throat. And it's time to do whatever it takes to distract the guy and get him away from the girl. So, maybe some of our furrier friends, we can get together. It feels like the end of the Lord of the Rings. You know, when they say, okay, all you orcs, okay, you ugly buggers, you can join us. Right. All you little people, you know, you're pretty ineffectual, but, you know, you might as well come along. La, 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 la. You know, and like, yeah, who else could be? Oh, yeah, dead people. Let's get all the dead people to help. You know, and it really feels like this is the moment for that to happen. And I think all of the races, all of the different groups and beings and fairies and gnomes and elementals and, you know, we all are now getting to the point of understanding that we all want the same thing, and it's not what the powers that be or the powers that were want, and these powers that were have to become the powers that were. And people are standing up, and now they're standing up, they're not going to sit down for a while.
Mm-hmm. People don't know what to do. People don't know what direction to take. And again, I mean, nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody's going to do it for us. We've got to do it ourselves. And even then, that's a challenge because with all the information and all the tampering and all the stuff out there that's actually available to people, most of it is just to sort of make things more challenging, and that's a sad state, and I don't like to be the bearer of the bad news, but it's just the way it is. I don't create it and I don't make it up, so it's a huge challenge, and absolutely there's been a lot of us that have been running and hiding for a very long time because of certain things and certain powers and certain situations, and it's time that it came to an end. I think this is our planet. I know this is our planet. And it's time to take it back.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing, you know, here I am. I'm a white, blue-eyed, male European with received pronunciation accent. And, like, as far as everybody's concerned, this is through this medium or similar media, the world of oppression has come through.
Uh-huh.
So somehow, you know, things have to be balanced out. I don't know.
Well, it has to be, yeah.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. So here
and
we
that's,
are.
I mean, yeah. JP, that's another reason that the different species, you know, different species and humans have to come together and have to get a grasp on what's happened, or at least some degree of a grasp on what's happening.
I think
because it has to change. It's the only way I can see it is changing, and that may mean different realities and different perspectives and consequences to different people, but it's going to be the way it is because it has to be.
I think maybe the group that I'm talking about, you know, my have been possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a voice in the wilderness because, you know, I literally am in the wilderness. I live in, you know, by a forest, as far away from London as you can get before you hit the sea, more or less, bar 6 miles.
Mm-hmm.
There's an energy there that is like, it's a possession that is highly insidious. It works on many, many levels. And in a way, you know, when I'm saying let's call in the dead people, we're talking about people who are still existing on the fourth dimension, who are kind of, in a way, they're trapped there, and they've been trapped there by the same machinations that are oppressing us just now. So they have everybody's got an axe to grind, and now is the time. And I think, you know, I've been, it's a day of, really strong synchronicities and just exact timings. You know, it's just like when we got this, the radio show, you know, when we connected to Revolution Radio, it was just at the moment the theme tune started. Now, normally I'm listening there, you know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes of jingles and things like that waiting for the show. But tonight it's been like, boom, here I am. And, you know, there are events, there's something, boom, here I am. Oh, wow. Deal with this. Hey, wow. Oh, no. you know, my son's now saying, Dad, can you get a rabbit? You know, like, but I'm a vegetarian. Yeah, they're good. but in terms of the synchronistic value of this, you contacted me a few hours ago, and there's a groundswell of information. There's a groundswell of communication and networking that's going on that hasn't happened before. And I think it's going exponential. It's going viral. You know, this is the beginning of it. And it's the cyber equivalent of the people getting out on the streets.
Yeah, it reminds me of something that I was thinking a few minutes ago. I mean, when it comes to anything like this, we've all been removed to different extents from the natural way that things should work, do work, can work. And I mean, even right down to instinct, people have been changed for whatever reasons, various reasons, so they can't even believe instinctive feelings and sensations and information for the most part. And that's a very bad thing, when it's of such value, when you can connect to those things. So really the natural ebb and flow of things is the way it's got to be. And the more you experience that, and even the things you told me earlier that you experienced today, the more you can realize that that's more of the natural flow of reality than anything else. It's a very good thing.
It was interesting. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't at all comfortable today. I'm actually feeling slightly irritable on the underlying thing. See, even the dog agrees. slightly kind of, a kind of constant WTF going on. A sense of outrage, but like, I've got nothing to be outraged about.
That you remember.
That I can remember or that I perceive right now. You know, there might be something going on in the world that is totally outrageous that nobody's being told about. That I'm really a little worried about. Actually, there's probably stuff like that going on all the time. But today, it feels different. September the 2nd, is it? Yes. Yeah. So, here we are, midst of Virgo.
Time goes on.
Time is zooming. And at the same time, lots of stuff is happening. It's like, I wake up one day, oh, that was another day gone. Oh, are you here again? No. I wasn't here yesterday. Oh, I thought you were here yesterday. No, I was here 2 days ago. And things like that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's like there's a lot going on under the surface of the planet. There's movement, apparently, that is going on. Now, according to one of my guests, the world is tied. There are like little threads, multitude of threads, that tie the core of the Earth to the outside of the Earth. And these big kind of sounds that people are hearing are the sound of these things stretching and bending and snapping. Hmm. And the sinkholes are the places where they were connected. So
that's interesting.
That might explain these two phenomena. Anyway, so that's one explanation. And it's the earth underneath us is moving in a different way to the earth on the surface.
Hmm.
You know, and I'm just like, the wind has been blowing for 3 days. So that's three rotations of the earth. What the hell is happening? Why is there a wind here? You know, what's going on? Going on all the time. People elsewhere are getting wind, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are different. That's another aspect of reality, really. And I mean, when you think of life, you think of people, you think of any of us that, again, going back to the same thing, if you can't latch onto and perceive or remember the past, then all you've got to work with is what you've experienced in this time period, in this life. And when it comes to these changes, such as you just described, you've got new generations being born, you know, every few years, and without that ability to understand a bigger picture or greater past, they don't have the ability to perceive these things that are changing, have changed, and are different. And that's a very dangerous thing, because that ties back into those that would choose to control a society, a population, a planet, to control a reality and manipulate everything so that it's different for their own benefit. And this is what happens. And you have these changes, and they think that's the way it's always been. No, it's not always been this way. There are many things that have changed, and by the same token, these are the things that are so important to work on to bring back some sort of balance. And it's all about balance, and certainly there's far too much imbalance at this point. And again, I don't want to sound like the preaching choir boy who's doom and gloom and death and destruction, but we've really got to get a grip. We've all got to get a grip and do the best that we can. I'm glad we're talking about these things.
Because right now it's time to put a stop to all these things. I know it's got to happen, you know, and in terms of in the ways of cycles, and it's the autumn and everything's starting to close down now. So this is a good energy to use too. And we're also coming towards a new moon. So again, this is good closing down things, endings, closures happening right now as the moon is becoming old and dying and becoming new again. So, working with those cycles, puts everything into this moment. As I said, you know, I keep repeatedly saying on these shows, I've got a sense of excitement, that is bubbling away inside me. It's like pouring out, but I don't know what I'm excited about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's an amazing time to be here and to experience, isn't it?
Interesting times, as the Chinese used to curse people. So meanwhile, back with the Narki. I think it's my favorite, one of my favorite subjects. Because, you know, the Narki just one race that came around and fiddled about with things. And, you know, they didn't mess with everybody, but they did try to wipe everybody else out. In fact, they still try to wipe everybody else out, but, you know, we just keep coming back. You know, it's just like the earth is made of us.
Yeah.
So it's been, what do your people then know about the quarantine and the circumstances that led up to that? Do you know anything about that moment?
Quarantine, you mean, are you referring sort of towards the prison planet thing?
Well, yeah, the idea that nobody can get off it.
Okay, yeah.
You can check out any time you like, but you may never leave. You know, it's like there's a shield around the moon.
Well.
Or the shield is locked in by the moon.
Okay. Well, from my experience and understanding and belief, the shield, the greatest shield is the shield that has caused, the instability in a population that doesn't allow for enough power and ability and consciousness to be able to get out of this place in any way. So rather than a physical shield, my understanding is that, again, what we're really talking about is the things that have been perpetrated upon a people and a planet that make it seem impossible to have freedom and have the ability to do these things. And certainly I've experienced that myself in for a very long time in many ways. But again, it goes back to, health. I mean, in sort of getting a concept on things. It's really interesting. I was listening to your show that you replayed, I guess, with Tracy there. And it's really interesting because, you know, I realize that people, I mean, I'm not outside of this group in any way, really, but people are so limited at this point to the information that they can get and the truth and the understanding of things that, and again, I've talked about this with other people, that so much of the information that's even available through sources like Wolf Spirit Radio or Revolution Radio. I mean, how do I put this? People are so challenged to find the truth, and it's so challenging to find accurate information that oftentimes I see accurate information interspersed with a lot of information that's just, well, it's kind of silly. It's very silly and it's inaccurate, a lot of it. But then you have, again, you have splatterings of truth and splatterings of the whole construct that keeps people in this, locked in this place of, okay, what's real, what's not, what's accurate, what's fictitious. And it causes a chaos. It causes a confusion, and that's part of this program, and it's just, yeah, it can be very frustrating. It can be very frustrating, and I don't mean to ramble on. I know that I got to this point from something that you said there, Jeremy, but it's quite phenomenal.
So here we go. Let's focus it back in, because, you know, I'm gonna drill down. The Anunnaki language.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to demonstrate for us?
Sure. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay. Torsen de bon pustika stors das tekelik monto torsen de bitte der parsen der kiste pen de burschen to putas tan de kerschen ta tai. Parando burschen de purren te pei. Para de kastas tat. There you go.
Wow. Interesting. That had a different effect on the last one than the last one.
Mm-hmm.
That was more throat center area. What were you talking about? Can you translate that somehow?
I was just making an appeal to someone else to join us here, actually.
So it was a communication. So that's right. So I felt it in the right place. Interesting.
Very, yeah.
Oh, interesting. So it is one of these things. It's a language of feeling. Oh my God, I've just made, okay, so this is it. Why they use it is because they took telepathy away from us, but that's what telepathy would normally do if we had it. We would feel different things in different parts of our body in the same way that the syllables make us feel when we hear them or when our bodies experience them.
I think you made a good connection there.
I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they do it. Oh, Tracy, you're going to, wait till you hear this. I mean, you just heard that, but I mean, right now. Oh, no, very interesting because, no, and then what you have to do is, do you have audio software, Tobias?
Yes.
What you need to do is to pitch shift it.
Mm.
To shift it down maybe a fifth. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's about 60% or something like that. I don't know. I'll figure out. It's a third of the frequency.
Hmm.
Down. No, it's not. It's, long story, I can't think of it right now, but there's a mathematical relationship. But basically, it's not knock it down about a fifth, five semitones or something like that. And then what you're going to be doing is you're going to be reproducing. You need to fine-tune it, but you'd be reproducing the actual sound of the Anunnaki.
Huh.
So you could do a Wizard of Oz on them. If you could speak it, then you could, and you had a voice changer. That's all it is. You know, you can buy them. You can even buy, for kids, they get them for doing Darth Vader, right? Which is basically why Darth Vader sounds so bad to us is because he sounds like Anunnaki. Now, again, on that tape, I was playing with my device. I've got a pitch shifting machine here. I was playing with it when I was talking to Tracy, and she said, "Oh my God, don't do that," because she felt it as this utter threat. You know, it was you know, a very forbidding sound to her. Interesting.
Yeah. One thing that I do notice about the Anu language is that, I mean, it can sound quite different depending on the subject, and that may sound silly, but to myself, if I sort of try to listen to myself, depending on the subject, it almost sounds like a variant of the language, even though it's not. It's just one language. It just sounds very different sometimes. Sometimes there's a lot of K sounds, and sometimes there's just very few of them in places. It's interesting. I know sometimes... often that there's some, at least for me, at least for Jack, and others as well, there's some Lemoira mixed in with it, because it's just it's a shared part of the time. So, yeah, it's interesting stuff.
So, would you say that this was, I'm nailing you, a Lemurian time? A Lemurian period?
That would be accurate.
So, right. Okay. And what we're really trying to figure out is that Atlantis was created by this group of invaders. Is that right?
Well, I don't know where they came from personally, honestly. I've heard different stories. I have different memories of different things. Some of the things that I've read and heard other people talk about, I know are right, and many of the things I know aren't right. So it's an interesting thing. I think a lot of the stories about, well, I know a lot of the stories about wars and different events are accurate. I know that different events have happened, or different similar events have happened repeatedly and at different times. It's a big story, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, because, I mean, it's, you know, when you're talking about Lemuria, it uh-huh. was a long, long time, you know. Although it was a long time ago, it lasted even longer than it was a long time ago. You know, it was a really long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ah, here's the break. Listen, we're going to go back to Lemuria in the next hour. Don't worry about Siri, all that rubbish. This is where it all started. Here, you. Yeah, I just realized that when I closed the show at the end, you closed the hour at the end, the show at the end of the hour, I closed it like a phone call. I said, all right, see you later, bye. It's like I was having some phone call with a precious person. Anyway, you're all precious to me. It's lovely here. And meanwhile, I'm talking with Tobias Beharel, and we're talking about the Xinu and the
Anunnaki?
No. Well, yeah,
no,
then.
Kitsune,
yes. Okay,
go.
So the Kitsune, and that's the people you're speaking about.
Yeah.
Because the Xinu are the Sasquatch. Okay.
That's right.
Because names, I'm terrible at learning names, and it's really hard for me, and it's just as well that I, you know, remember you. You're lucky. Meanwhile, we've got a period of Lemuria where there are many different kinds of creatures, and it didn't really matter whether you were 1 foot tall or 6 feet tall or 20 feet tall. Everybody was pretty much harmonious. Is that, and this is the kind of, image that I'm getting. That it's a very kind of, Garden of Eden-y sort of, no, before the Garden of Eden, when everything was fine, like these Middle Earth kind of ideas, you know, the kind of world that the Hobbit, you know, everything's lovely, you know, kind of thing. Meanwhile, Mordor is brewing away, but that's later. But what's the kind of picture? Is that the kind of picture of the world that we're talking about?
Do you want the truth?
Of course I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. Anyway, everybody hears every half an hour. You can't handle the truth. Yes, you can. You can handle the truth. We can handle the truth here at Revolution Radio, All Spirit Radio, and No Bullies Radio. Yes, we can. Don.
Well, again, I don't remember everything, JP, and I'm still remembering new things all of the time, but the things that I remember, yeah, I mean, there's some good things and some bad things. There's some good times and some bad times, really. I probably won't go into it very much deeper than that, but I mean, it really comes from perspective. I mean, even in our world today, it depends on who you are. It depends on, unfortunately, it depends on where you are. It depends on circumstances, and things are no different in that regard from now to then or back there or over there. It's the way it is, and I mean, there's some good things and some really crappy things, and that's just the way it is. I know that in the things that I've read and heard other people talk about Lemuria and things like that, I hear a lot of others talk about sort of Garden of Eden and perfection, and I don't remember that. I don't remember that. I mean, I do remember that I traveled different places. I lived in different places. I come from like a mixed heritage of Kitsune, two different lines. So my own heritage created a basically a conflict of interest between two different sides. So I sort of went out on my own. And as a result, I basically said, to heck with you guys. And I found my way in with the Anunnaki at an early age. And, again, I'm still remembering, different aspects of what I did and what I learned and what I know. And I know I enjoyed my work and I had a place to stay and didn't really ask too many questions. I just did my job and I enjoyed doing it too. A lot of people talk about Lemuria and Atlantis as though, you know, they're one little place on the earth. And from what I understand is, I mean, this planet was that place. This planet was that place, you know, everywhere. It was all that. And again, that goes back to depending on who you are and where you are and your different experiences. So a little bit of everything.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting, the whole mixed race thing, because that's something that goes through my timeline and my physical bloodline as well, oddly enough. You know, it's like, as above, so below, basically, and probably with you. The same.
Yeah. And we're talking, I mean, you alluded to this sort of focus a little bit earlier about different races and on this planet at this time and human bodies and everything. Just because some of us are in human bodies doesn't mean we're human. And just because there are other races and other species on this planet doesn't mean that every human is a different species. I don't even know how many Kitsune there are on this planet at this time. I just don't. But I do know that there are countless species, countless different species throughout the universe and here in different ways. And it's an interesting thing. I mean, we talk often and have talked often about how in order to make things better and to make things change, we've got to set aside our differences, whether a certain species likes another or dislikes another, doesn't matter. The only way to move forward is to set aside differences, at least to the extent that we can cooperate on a level where we can make things better for everyone. And I think that's an important message and an important topic to express, because it's got to be done.
So, fox people, bear people, gnome people, fairy people, we need to stop arguing amongst ourselves. We've been divided. That's their tactics, you know. Oh, look, we can find ways of separating these people. Let's just go about that. And, very interesting. This idea that they're still kind of messing with you as well. Do you want to talk about that? Can you talk about that?
Well, you know, when it comes to progress or being, as many would say, being in your own power, there's always seems to be something or someone that wants to prevent that from happening for their own goals. And this is just the way of the universe, really, JP. You know, it humors me in some degree when some people talk about our star brothers and our star sisters coming to save us, or we're having our best in their minds, and not to be negative, but really we should sort of take a better focus and realize the way things are on our planet alone, and there's a wide, colorful array of different personalities, different people, and that's just the way it is. That's the natural way, and I think it's a dangerous thing for our circumstances at this time, for a lot of people to be looking outward for well, a lot of answers, and when they should really be looking inward for more of those answers.
Well, I mean, really, at this time, we should all know this stuff, and, see, dog agrees, we should all know this stuff, and we should be acting now. We are in a place of we know a lot of things that can change people's lives, and I think now is the time that when we turn outwards, not to seek answers, but to be the answers. Don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And I know that that's a challenge, again, going back to some of the things we've already discussed. I know that's a challenge, but even what we're talking about today is part of the solution. It's part of the solution just because of people's consciousness, people's grasping on to these things and these realities. And you know, it's not good for any of us to pretend that things are perfect. It's not good for anyone to assume that things will just get done because someone else will do it. We've got to do things ourselves. We've got to take every step that we can toward that ultimate goal and creating for ourselves what we want to create. So that's the way it works. There's just too much out there that is confusing and that is put in place to confuse. So that's why I say to do the most that we can to make ourselves healthy, grasp onto the accurate information and the truths and get somewhere rather than staying in the same place.
Mm. you know, it's like you're at this kind of dog gospel movement kind of meeting, and you're preaching there, and the dog's going, yeah, in the background.
I'm sorry for my neighbor's dog.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's great. It just adds a bit of spice to the whole thing. And it's you know, it's like, yeah, like I said, you know, canine gospel. So here's the thing. And this, yes, as you say, is really, really, really important, is that we have to stop putting plastic and junk into our bodies thinking it's going to make us feel all right.
Absolutely.
Because the only thing that's going to make us feel all right is stuff that comes from this planet, naturally, comes out of it, you know?
Yeah, and what's left of the natural anyways. I mean, we talk about GMO foods and fluoride in the water and things like these. Well, what better a weapon to use against a population than to turn off the functions that would be most beneficial to them, whether it be the pineal gland or any of the rest. I mean, these things were specifically created to poison a population, and it's becoming increasingly challenging simply to find food that is good for our health, all of us.
Mm.
You know, well, I remember.
Yeah, this is, you know, we have to make it. We have to create the food. Everything that we need now, we're going to have to create for ourselves.
I agree.
I think it's and this goes back to this kind of slightly crazy apocalypto life that I lead. That is, okay, so what if no, there was no more Tesco's? Could I survive on, for instance, potato and weeds from my garden? You know, or some really desperate stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And could I do it? And, you know, if I have water and we've only, I just got the farmer to sort out the water, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So the water's sorted and the sewage is sorted. So that's all clean now. And so we're, you know, really reconditioning this place and giving it a new lease of life. And I think it will be able to sustain life. You know, in not just the kind of, you know, pleasure and garden way, but in a real, that vegetables grow here and herbs and all sorts of things.
Uh-huh.
And,
absolutely.
And that I eat what I grow and I grow what I eat. And really that would totally be fantastic for me. That I wouldn't need to go out and buy anything from shops.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is another thing that you and I have discussed, down the same road there. I mean, with the technologies and different things, whether they're from the past or reclaimed or things that we figure out now or things that already have been figured out by various scientists or people that would benefit us when it comes to the health and food, water, anything. These are the things that we focus on greatly to benefit all of us. I mean, Marcel Vogel is one of the greatest pioneers that I know that worked and did tremendous research and scientifically proved things beyond the grasp and concept of almost everyone on this planet. But they are things that are more beneficial to our health and our livelihood and the livelihood and health of this planet than most of the things and functions that are brought out to the people now saying that this is what you need. You know, the narcotics, the medicines, all these things that are said to be beneficial to us. And some of us know that these are just to do the opposite. So whether it's your garden or your water that you structure with a crystal, whether it's a technology that you use to affect your health, all of these things add up to the focus that, you know, we're taking and hope that more people, others can take, whether they remember the past or not. There's some intelligent people on this planet, and I think it's time to come together in some unique and creative ways to make things better, and that's another step toward what we all would desire.
Yeah, so creative. And I've been reading Cliff High and his writings recently. Since all of his predictions have gone wrong, he's just sitting there thinking about things now, and it's very interesting his ruminations. And you know, he's talking about these ancient languages as well, and all these you know, this stuff, and it's all starting to become a lot clearer. You know, why the world is the way it is because we're recovering from a massive trauma, massive numbers of huge atomic wars that happened quite a long time ago. That wiped out huge numbers of different kinds of being, like, you know, like we're discussing here. Very few of us have survived to create the human that we see today.
Yes. Well, yes. A lot of what you referred to may not actually be gone, but yeah, maybe out of sight. It's interesting.
Ah, you see, you are saying that they have shifted into alternate frequencies, let's say.
This happens.
Yeah, well, people think that's what extinct is. But right. Somewhere, they've just moved. Nothing ever dies, as they say.
Yeah.
So, so many questions. Where do I start? If you were to, have you found, here's a good thing, have you found any evidence of your previous existences?
Physical evidence?
Yeah. Or not necessarily, or maybe even legendary evidence. You know, you spoke it from one thing and it appears in a legend.
Yeah. Physical things, not that comes to mind. It's interesting though, what does come to mind is a few of the things that I've seen on the internet, more specifically artifact type things in different places, are perhaps not the actual artifact that I myself created or something or carved or whatever, but is so similar, so identical to something that I've either made now in this time period or would make. It's phenomenal. And this goes back to instinct, really. Because when this is an important subject, when people have likes and dislikes, when people have feelings towards specific things. Take, for example, myself, where you have this white boy born and raised in Vancouver, BC, but has an affinity towards Asian culture, Asian things, Egyptian things, pyramids, and had no clue why. It's just the way it is. People say, I just like these things. I like this food. I don't like that food. I like plants. I don't like cactuses, but I like palm trees, whatever. All of these things, there's nothing that is coincidence. We all have a huge history. We all have so much, so much. And these things are a direct result of what we don't even remember, most of us. These things are valuable. These things are important to ponder and consider. These things, once you can get yourself on the right sort of focus, help to bring back the things that would be valuable and useful in this moment. There's, sure, there are coincidences. Well, maybe there aren't coincidences. I don't know. But you know what? There's just so much that I've come to realize and remember that everything has an origin. Everything. And it's important. It's important. It's important to me. And I think it's worth considering for anybody that's listening to us tonight.
Everything has an origin and everything has a destination or a destiny. Interesting. sorry, just looking at the chat room. There is a question from the chat room from Freedom Rocks. And is there Anunnaki in the Pentagon, is the question.
Oh, I'm sure there's various amounts of them all sorts of places.
Apparently, according to the dog, there's at least seven. And he's, yeah. If I remember my Doganese.
So, yeah, that goes back to the species again, and you know, just because we can't, or just because you can't see things doesn't mean they're not here, right?
That's right. I mean, we see that cats and dogs see things that aren't there, and they imagine that a red laser dot is something really important, and,
yeah, sure.
I love, you know, I've got a red, green, and blue laser, and they don't like the red, the blue and the green ones. They only like the red ones.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, there you go. You know all about this, different frequencies and things like that. And it goes right back to everything we've talked about. The cats can see certain things in certain ways. Different things can see different things. But a lot of what we would like to see ourselves or should be seeing as a healthy population, we can't because things are not working properly.
So this is... this is a really strong topic for you, so I want to let you roll on this one. Shall we bring Jack into the conversation? Is he up for it, or is he being shy? Because I know he's a bit of a shy boy. But
no, I don't think Jack's shy, but sure, bring him in.
But you talk about health, but you're not talking about you're not talking about taking medicines. You're talking about an inner health that is a health of like, it's almost like, there's no point in having a tank full of petrol and a sump full of oil if there's no spark in the plug.
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
Really, that's a good point to make, because when I talk about health, I realize that there are physical aspects to that that are very important, but really what I ultimately mean is the fact that there are portions of, let me put it this way. This is just my personal opinion, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but I've heard various stories and beliefs from different people all over the world talking about reasons and excuses why why they don't remember things and why most of the population doesn't even really know that they have a history themselves and have been alive for God knows how long. I've heard people talk about, you know, karmic laws and laws of the universe and laws of the planet. Oh, we can't remember. We have our spirit guides, and our guides are, they know what's better for us. They know the big picture. We're not ready for it. To be frank, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. I believe when you have a population or anyone, including myself, if you can't remember the past, something's wrong. That's my opinion, and I don't like it.
So you're saying, in a way, or if I may paraphrase that, we could say that we're like lab rats who have been cleansed of our memories. Or, for instance, we may be like laptops that have been refurbished, and we can't remember where, what corporation we used to belong to. You know, we're sitting in some kid's bedroom nowadays.
But I agree completely. Yeah.
You know, that there is, if only we knew what we'd been doing, we'd be amazed. We'd be impressed. Yes. But a lot, we'd be angry that it's been taken away from us.
Absolutely. There's a lot of different emotions and experiences that come with memories and remembering and realization. Yeah. You know, even today I was sitting in the middle of a creek here in the sunshine, sitting on some granite boulders, and I looked over and I saw this plant growing sort of out of the water and mud. And I'd never seen this plant here before. I don't know much about the natural plants here, but I immediately knew that it was something called river mint. And at the same time, I got this energetic smell of mint and an energetic taste of mint in my mouth. I got up and I walked over to this plant and plucked a leaf off of it and put it up to my nose, and of course it was mint. As soon as I smelt it physically, I started getting flashes of memories of this same or similar plant in different places on this planet. Some in the Orient, some in more desert places and rivers and bogs. And the reason I'm expressing this experience is really just to tie in with some of the other things we've talked about, with instinct and feeling and memories and everything. It's so valuable to be able to take yourself to a point where you're not dismissing these things, you're not thinking it's silly or completely ignoring them. These are the processes, for myself anyway, that have been incredibly valuable, and I think that it could help other people as well.
Yeah. So now, do we that? too many things. I'd like to welcome Jack on board, yes, Tobias. Those are really good points you made. So, hello, Jack. How are you doing, mate?
Hello.
Hi. So, Jack, I don't know if you were listening at the beginning of the show, but Tobias mentioned you as being somebody who knows about some of the things that I was asking questions about that he wasn't quite familiar with. But there is gone offline.
Yeah, it's a common thing with Jack's Skype, so I'm pretty confident it will reconnect at some point.
He'll just pop back on now. Oh, well. Meanwhile. there we go. Jack, you back? No, he's not. No, he's still got in that little Skype bubbly thing. Ah, yeah, there you are. You're back now. It doesn't really like you. Yeah, we'll have to get you on Uvu. By the way, everybody, www.oovoo.com. Go and download an alternative to Skype. Does video. There's a free thing, and you know, you can use it to connect and everything like that. So, hey Jack, how are you doing, my friend?
All right. How are y'all?
We're all very good, and I kind of energized in some bizarre way. That there's a sense of anticipation going on.
Sounds like a good song.
Yeah. There's something in the air, and maybe it's coming towards us very fast. They're not going to tell us until it's right on us. So Jack, we were talking about various aspects, and well, basically, you and Tobias were talking about having these experiences in a certain time frame, which we've kind of labeled Lemurian time. But when I say Lemurian, it's a long period of time. I mean, it's a, you know, longer than as long ago it was. You know, it lasted for many, many dozens of thousands of years. So would you like to, you know, talk about some of the memories that have been coming up for you? And how they arise, you know, what's the trigger that you get from, for instance? All right, great. So every time I ask him a question, he hears the question and then Skype disconnects you. I'm sure it will come back. It may be a router thing. We, sometimes get that.
Yeah.
But there we go. What was the question that I asked him?
Well, you're talking about remembering and stuff, and there he is.
So have a go now, Jack. Memory
talk about Lemuria.
Yeah. What are the things? For instance, you'll like Tobias was talking about picking up a flower and smelling it, and all the memories start coming back. Do you get similar kind of triggers like that? Bloop bloop, bloop bloop. Yeah. we may have to postpone this part of the interview. I have to talk to Jack on another line and bring him in on a different way.
Doesn't make for great radio sometimes.
This is a bit So we'll wait till he comes back and we'll gather Jack and we'll gather him together. Maybe we may need to do it offline. Hey mate, you're back. Listen, we won't bother just now. We'll connect with you on another way and do another broadcast another time. But thanks for coming on.
Okay. We'll see you next time.
Bless your heart. Thank you, Jack. So,
yeah, it's interesting because it's different for each individual. I mean, there are those of us who have memories that haven't been forgotten and have information there and experiences that haven't been forgotten for large chunks of space and time. And yet others that are other time periods that there are pieces missing from that sometimes come back and sift back in, and it's a fascinating subject for sure.
Certainly, the this period of time. Well, I mean, basically, I had a bike crash in, when was it? 1986. I can't even remember that. I had amnesia. Yeah, 1986. I had a bike crash. I had amnesia for 3 weeks, and the PTSD has kind of filtered through my life, and it's a bit weird. You know, I get these sort of slightly weird effects. And also, you know, I get bones creaking and stuff like that. So, yeah. those...
Sorry.
That's a reflection of what's happened to the Earth. There's been a period when we were traumatized and we lost our memory.
Yeah, I think we're traumatized every single day.
That's right. In order to keep that memory loss going.
Mm-hmm. It's by design.
Yeah. So we need to deconstruct the things. Oh, is that you gone? Dubai?
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Oh, Jack's up and down there. Yeah, that's him dropping in and out. We need to be able to deconstruct those triggers that are holding us in this prison. Now, money, we know, is one of them. You know,
yes.
I was sitting there thinking about this whole thing, listening to Max Kaiser, and there's all these pundits who like to think they know what money is. And yet, really, if you look at it from this long-distance point of view, the money is a game. The game that the Narki play with.
It's a weapon.
Yeah.
It's a weapon against the people. You know, I think it reminds me of these different things you see. You see government buildings and different buildings and architecture with symbols and things. And, you know, I have a building here in this city that has Ark of the Covenant on the top and all sorts of funky things that I won't even mention. And almost all people look at these things and think, wow, isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting design? Isn't that cool? Doesn't that look nice? I wonder why they did that. You know, these things are more than just what meets the eye, and it's the same with what you were just talking about. You know, it's the same for so many things. People are just so incredibly disconnected from things, and it's a tragedy, really. It's a challenge anyways. Even jewelry.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about the royal families and their beautiful crowns of gold and gemstones, and all of this ties back into things that are our knowledge that has been taken from the planet for the most part, and these things could be very helpful to us. These things are very helpful to us if we can grasp them. Even another subject, even what some people consider magic. Magic. What's magic? You have David Copperfield on TV doing these tricks. Well, magic's not real then. Well, magic's silly. These things are silly. What better way to disconnect a people from reality than to reconstruct it as silly, make them laugh at things that they should take very seriously? There's so much that's just been completely reversed, and it's a huge challenge. So it's always interesting to talk about these things. What's good is bad. What's bad is good.
Yeah. Everything's been turned upside down in order to confuse us so that we don't see what is really real, which is the opposite of everything what people call common sense. When it's really common sense, you see the opposite of what people are always seeing.
Right.
Because we get habituated in what we see and we don't see it anymore.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, you see the same old street as you go to work every day. You don't notice anything unless it changes, and even then you might not think, you know, much of it.
Exactly.
So we get habituated to what we see, and that's numbness of the mind, and I think that's deliberate too. It's, you know, part of mind control is repetitive sounds, you know.
Mm-hmm.
See, the dog agrees. Meanwhile, we're coming up towards the culmination of this. So it's been a fascinating conversation, Tobias. You know, just to talk about your adventures since we last spoke, which I think was just after the Winnipeg event.
Right.
And that would be July, last July.
Probably,
yeah. Yeah. So major energy influxes for you then. Major internal pressure to drive that which is buried within to the outside to let go of it. That kind of process happening for you?
Yeah, you could say that. I mean, it's interesting. We talk about the past and different things like this. It's always somewhat amusing to me to realize on some level that I can remember what would be considered thousands of years ago more easily than I can remember much of my childhood. I can remember literally entering this physical body, but I don't remember the next, you know, many, many years. So there's a lot of things that that are twisted, that's for sure. It's fascinating. It makes for good conversation sometimes if you're in the right mood anyway.
The right mood. I don't know what the right mood's going to be anymore. I've got the feeling that the mood is going to be one of these things. It's like, you know, it's going to be like rare. You could buy one. Because you don't see one where, you know, like, oh, over here, here's a good mood I had in 1987. It was a good day. I bought a Pink Floyd album off of it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the story began then, is still continuing, but has to close, has to come to an end. And it feels like that we're on the far distant shore of that ocean. And, you know, we're all pulling the boats up and, you know, getting accustomed to this new territory, which is, you know, there is a taste of freedom in the air. It's possible, but it's what it's like. It's like, everybody who just feels things and does things is already getting it. People who are stuck in systems are going to take a lot longer to get it. And it's like exactly what you're talking about the languages. It's like, we know what freedom is. We know, or we think we know, we would recognize it if we saw it.
Yes.
But it's been so long since we've actually had it, we might miss it because it feels absolutely normal.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like, yeah! It's just like, oh. It's just like, okay, here we go. That's normal, you know, normal. There's no panic. There's no drama. Things work. You know, you put two and two together and they make four, always.
Right.
You know, there's nothing strange about it. It's normal.
Yes, those are really good points, because sometimes to be content isn't really the best route to take, because content can mean that it's okay with what you remember and know, but sometimes there's always other things that you could be doing and focusing on to make things better yourself, and sometimes all it takes is a thought, or, you know, a new thought. It's like, reminds me of the other day. I was just telling Jack this story yesterday. I was at the park. As silly as it may sound to some people, I was looking for some pine resin on trees for different things.
Oh yeah. Nikki looks for pine resin. She gathers that.
Yeah, it's fabulous. It's fabulous stuff. Anyways, just talking about reality, I was going from tree to tree. I couldn't find any pine resin on anything, and it occurred to me maybe I should actually ask a tree. So I did. I asked the tree, is there any trees with pine resin? And it told me that, yeah, a tree two trees down has lots. So I went there, and it was the mother load of pine resin. And in just expressing this story yesterday, what came out of it really is that, you know, you can go about your existence and your experience never thinking, just content in the way things have been. And until you realize or go outside that box and realize, okay, let's figure out a new way to do things. Let's actually ask, or let's do it this way. And then the answers come. So it's an important point.
And the answer is,
even I didn't think of that until then.
And the answer is usually yes as well.
Yeah, there's always value in it.
Yeah.
It may not even be what you want, but there's always value in it.
Yeah, and it will always benefit everybody. And that's the sign of something soulful. The sign of soulfulness is it benefits everybody. Everybody wins. If
everybody's healthy and happy, to some extent, everybody's healthy. Yeah. Then who doesn't win, hey?
So, let's go back to healthy. And that must extend to attitude. What would you say would be a healthy attitude to take these days?
Well, people talk about hope, and I mean, I think there's value in that as well. Of course there's value in that. Without hope, you have no incentive. Without incentive, you're never going to change anything. And really, I think a healthy attitude is to be open to changes that perhaps you didn't consider ever. There may be changes. There will be changes. I know there will be changes on this planet. I mean, there will be things that people see and experience that most of them probably never truly considered. And there will be things that undoubtedly are scary and confusing at times, but I mean, people just are going to have to be open to something different. And again, the challenge there is when so many are so content in the reality that's been structured and their lives that have been put into place for them, people resist these changes, but it's time to think in different ways. It's time to go outside that box and be open to the fact that there are other things, other realities, and other species with valuable knowledge and information that exist, not just in the past, but in the present, that can add value to life for all of us. And to remain open to that, to sort of jump on the wagon and be a part of it if you have the ability, if you have the desire for something better. It's the way it works.
Basically, it's a kind of multicultural universe where people live together and are cool about it. And nobody tells anybody else what to do. And everybody lives in their own group or network, and nobody needs to steal anything because there's plenty.
I think that would be great. I think that perhaps it's somewhat idealistic for us to expect that with such diversity through reality, mm-hmm. that everything and everyone would get along. But at the same time, if we want stability and we want balance, we're going to have to do everything we can to create as much balance as we can.
Well, let's just think about this. Say that there was a kind of disclosure event that is really that blows everybody's mind, because it's not just about aliens, but it's about everybody who already lives here, right?
Mm-hmm.
because that's going to be mind-numbingly blowing. I can't even think of the humongousness, exaggerated, what's the word, superlative, to describe how mind-blowing it would be to discover that all along there are so many other races that we don't even recognize as a race, that mm-hmm. suddenly we realize, holy crap, they are a consciousness, and we've been interacting it, and they've been talking to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that, and then there's also the neighbors, because once we've dealt with the Anunnaki, the quarantine can be lifted, and you know, everybody can come back, and it can be like it'd be like a really nice resort, I think, in the galaxy. But certainly, it's mineral rich, it's herb rich, it's spice rich. Imagine what it would be like if we had trade routes that were set up interplanetary. It's got to be a reality in the wider universe that's how it happens in a solar system. That planets trade whatever they have with whatever they have. You know, I buy osmium from Jupiter's moon in exchange for Himalayan salt, so that they can cook their Venusian rice.
Right.
So, you know, this is a lively, alive solar system.
We've been
held back for so long. This is the event, and it's poignant. It brings the tears to my eyes because it's so funny, because you realize that the universe is just like a bigger version of what you know. It's just like a village or a town. If you've lived in small towns, I think it's a real important thing to at least at one point in your life live in a small town and see how the whole thing works.
Well, sure.
You know, see how the energies flow and who runs the place and all of that sort of stuff. Where you can get stuff, how you can get who you need to know, you know.
And realize at the same time that when jerk old farmer Tuck down the street steps on your front lawn and starts harassing you, that you're going to point your gun at him and say, "Get off my front lawn," because that's just the way it is sometimes.
Mm. Yeah. Or, you know, you dig a moat, or you got barbed wire, or whatever, you know, lasers.
Mm-hmm.
Laser cannons. Nuclear weapons, you know.
You know, I mean, we all know what good and bad is. We all know what makes us happy and what makes us something otherwise.
Yeah, just,
and it's just a part of the balance. It's just a part of reality.
Yeah.
And I think that to consider something so perfect that everyone is just bliss all the time, I don't know. I don't remember a time like that. I don't know. It doesn't mean there's misery and suffering all the time. Nobody wants that. But there's got to be balance. And I think that's what nature is.
I tell you what it is. And I tell you what it's been denied. Is when we suffer, we have been suffering over and over and over because we haven't been able to remember in order to learn. If the memory blocks are taken off, then when we suffer, we only need to suffer once. And that's it, because we remember for the rest of our lifetimes. And thus, the suffering of humanity is lifted. And it becomes meaningful, and then it becomes more of the game because, you know, you really do get a pain-gain cycle going on. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I understand. I understand what you mean. To be honest, it can be very challenging for me to understand when, I mean, just speaking of humanity sometimes, and I don't mean to be weird about it, but it is very challenging for me to sort of conceive of the way it works, simply because I think differently. I'm just different. I'm different, right?
I suppose
I'm a different species.
Yeah, one way of looking at it is like looking at the German people and the Nazis and the Khazarians within the Nazis as we go further in towards the heart of the beast.
Yeah.
You see that the beast is wearing a mask. And when, you know, so when I think of the German people, I think of the German people. I don't think of the Nazi people. I think of the German people having been infested with a parasite, a dangerous parasite, a zombie parasite, a zombie virus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Nazism is. It's a zombie virus. That's why we're all scared of zombies.
With a little bit of different species intermixed, perhaps.
Exactly, to make it look that way. But
what
I'm saying is that humanity as a victim race that has had this big dupe laid on it, and all of the suffering in the world didn't need to happen. But it's happened because, oh God, it's because they wanted to get off the planet. this is back to the big story. And we're going to have to continue the big story because we're right at the end of the program. Tobias Beharel, do you have a website?
Not really, JP.
Okay.
I do have just a WordPress that's got a couple of recordings of the Diane shows on it. It's called kitsuneplanet.wordpress.com.
Can you spell that, please?
Sure, it's KITSUNE planet, all one word, .wordpress.com. There's a few things on there.
Superb. People can find you there. And presumably they can leave comments and contact you and converse.
Yeah.
because if anybody was touched by that, what Tobias voiced earlier on, please get in touch with him because he's looking for you.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why else would you do this?
Yeah.
So, thank you very much, Tobias.
Thank you, JP.
It's been an honor and a pleasure to reconnect with you. And
likewise.
We are in perfect time. God bless you all. I love you all. Thank you very much. Good night.
Good night, JP.